This podcast is sponsored by Now Press Play. Now Press Play is an award-winning immersive audio resource for primary schools, engaging children in the curriculum through sound, story, and movement with over 80 experiences. From climbing through the rainforest canopy in the Amazon to fighting a woolly mammoth in the Stone Age, their inclusive audio adventures increase engagement, extend life experiences, and inspire children to produce quality writing. Immersed in sound, children become the main character in a story, meeting people, discovering places, and solving problems on an educational adventure they'll never forget. To find out more and book a free trial, visit nowpressplay.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to this bonus edition of the TES Podcast. I'm Senior Editor Simon Locke, and today I'll be looking at how schools can maximise the use of sound in the classroom. When we think about learning spaces, there's a tendency to get caught up in the aesthetic and the architecture. But how can sound help bring a lesson to life and help students focus? To find out, first I spoke to headteacher Gary Spracklin via video call to learn more about the immersive audio experience he's providing for his pupils at the Prince of Wales Primary School in Dorset. Hi Gary, thanks for joining me on the podcast today.
It's great to be here. Thank you for the invitation.
So when we think about teaching and learning, how important is the space or the environment?
For me, learning environments, learning spaces are so important. We see in the wider world around us the emphasis that commercial businesses put into the design of their spaces. If you think about a supermarket or a high-end retail store, the amount of planning that goes into those spaces to ensure that ultimately their aims are met, i.e. you buy something in their shop. Yet in schools, we sometimes forget the impact that an environment can have on young people. Colleagues in early years are used to using the environment as an enabler for learning, and somehow we lose that concept as children get older. But the truth is, it's so important. All those little details matter. Of course, they don't matter as much as the teacher in the room, but they can enhance what the teacher is presenting, whether that's through making sure light levels are good. And obviously, we've had a big focus on oxygen levels in classrooms because of the pandemic that we've all been living through, and we've noticed much more about how rooms are heated because we've had to have windows open. But it's not just about heat levels, it's not just about light levels, it's about the sounds that we can hear, the smells that we can experience when we're in a learning space. All of these things can be used to enhance and grow and experience and a connection with learning for young people. And here at the Prince of Wales School, we've been thinking about that now for a number of years. Around 5 years ago, we started developing and reshaping our learning spaces very much on a learner-led process. The learners were involved in the design and the research and spent time reflecting on how they can make their spaces better. And as such, we've made some deliberate choices. We've implemented protocols such as glass means glass. So making sure that more light can come into a space to not block it up with, you know, often teacher posters on the windows, making sure that light can come into the space. We thought carefully about how furniture is positioned and what kind of environments we allow to different activities to take place in. We've introduced a lot more writable surfaces so that walls can be used to present learning and to collaborate on ideas. And we thought carefully about how sound is managed in the space, whether that's through thinking about things like acoustics, making sure that we create small spaces where children can get a focused activity completed, or whether it's bringing in elements of technology, whether it's better sound systems or using devices that present curriculum content in an engaging and creative way, like the Now Press Play headsets. We've used different items to engage children in different ways.
Now, obviously, sound is a really key part of all of this for you. I guess there's probably a tendency to focus on visual elements in the space, but sound is obviously really important for you. Can you talk to us a little bit more about that?
Absolutely. And I think it's one of the easiest things that we can control with the cheapest budget in that respect, because you can access a whole array of sound effects now online, whether it's, you know, making use of freely available content on YouTube or royalty-free collections, or whether it's purchasing into professional products. There's just a whole host of available resources there that ultimately can take children anywhere in the world. Close your eyes and listen to this. Where do you see the sound? Such a powerful concept. Audio helps set a tone as well. We here at the Prince of Wales School have installed speakers at the front of the school. So when children arrive in the mornings, we play music. Often that music is linked to our music curriculum to provide exposure to the content that they will be picking up perhaps later on in the lesson. And those speakers are just kind of background speakers. They're not there blaring out music, but it's a bit like when you go to a theme park and you've got that kind of jolly pirate music on in the background before you go on the log flume. It sets a tone for what's about to come. And we do that with audio here at the Prince of Wales School. So when children arrive in the morning, we have upbeat music on. We ensure that the music is promoting a positive message. And it's not in your face. It's not screaming and it's at full volume and it's not there to annoy the neighbors, but it's there as a kind of uplift as the children enter, that they're in a good place, they're in a happy place, then they're going to have a great day ahead of and a good experience of learning ahead.
I love the idea of having like a soundtrack to the school day. That's great.
We'll have to compose a Prince of Wales playlist, I think. But you know what, parents report to me that they notice a difference in their children when they hear the music. Because sometimes we, you know, for whatever reason, we might forget to put a song on that morning. And the parents say, well, where's the music today? You know, it's little Johnny or Fred or whoever it may be has missed that this morning. Is something wrong? And it's nice that children kind of associate that positive music with a positive start to the day.
Now, once you get into the classroom, I know you use what you call an immersive sound, and you've got some special kit to do that with your students. Can you explain a bit more about that?
So the kit consists of 35 wireless headsets that work through a central transmitter that you could then connect into a tablet. The tablet comes preloaded with a range of curriculum content for early years, Key Stage 1 and Key Stage 2. And we have mapped the content that's available to our curriculum, or the other way around, actually, the curriculum to the content to the curriculum. And what those experiences provide is a really high quality immersive learning experience. So let me share an example with you. We study the Celts and Romans here in our year three at the Prince of Wales School. And it's a unit of work that's really close to our hearts because of our location. We're in Dorchester, the old Roman town of Donorarium, and we've got the largest hill fort of its kind in Europe on our doorstep, Maiden Castle, which the Celts used to defend themselves from the Romans. And we take our children up there, of course. We provide them an immersive outdoor experience in that they walk up and down the hills. But it can be hard to get the children to think about what was it really like here? Because now we're just standing in a field with some sheep, and there are some barrows that we can see that where once armies would have marched. And by using the Now Press Play headsets, we can bring that experience to life. We can hear the sounds that were there at the time. We can feel the rumble of a Roman army approaching. We can put ourselves in the shoes of one of those Celts, and you can't beat that experience. Now, we can do that in the classroom with the devices, but we can also take them outside as well. And that's been really powerful by making a fully immersive experience, both indoors and outdoors.
Okay, great. Well, let's hear a quick example of that.
What on earth is that?
Hundreds of chariots are pouring into the amphitheatre.
It's the Iceni.
There's a woman in the middle getting out of her chariot. She's wearing armour, carrying a huge spear, and she has bright red hair. Point to her.
Romans, you have stayed too long in Britain. My Iceni tribe and I will not rest until every last one of you is dead.
Hide under your seat. I'm going to fetch backup.
Your dad's fastened his helmet with its red feathers, and he's walking away. The amphitheatre is under attack from Boudicca's army. Make yourself small under your seat. Something or someone just went flying over your head. It's not safe here. Crawl along and try to find an exit. What was that?
Wow, okay, yeah, I can see how that would be really powerful and a great way to bring that topic to life. Thanks, Gary.
Another example is we've been using the devices to bring what can sometimes be quite a dull topic to life. We've been using the devices to support our e-safety curriculum. The other thing I'd say about using the devices is when you make it an immersive experience, rather than just playing it through a speaker, because obviously these kind of experiences and stories you could tell via video, But when you have a video, you as the teacher are preloading the content in some respects that a child's viewing, because you're giving them the images themselves. Whereas if you allow the child to invest in their own imagination by painting the picture, each child's going to have a much more unique and personalized experience. And by having the headsets on, really each child is in their own bubble in that moment. And I find that's truly immersive for these young people, and has a huge impact, quite a profound impact in terms of their connection with the content, because they're not distracted by other children, because they are in their own space with their own headset on. And as they listen, they start to paint a picture in their mind of what the character looks like, where they're moving to, what activities they're being involved in. And the content drives that. It gives them some actions, encourages them to sit or to stand or to reach out, and other children around them will be doing that. But they focus in on themselves, and that kind of inner focus helps them to connect deeper with the content, which I find is a really powerful experience. And for us, it's led to just the most wonderful, inspired writing opportunities. Often the children, the moment they take the headsets off, they'll be picking up a pen or pencil and they'll be going to their workbook. And the flow of work that comes is really powerful, because there's been that intimate connection with the characters. They've been immersed in that environment for, say, the last 15, 20 minutes through a professionally put together piece. And I find that that's really very special.
It's clear from Gary's use of audio that there are ways schools can really use sound to breathe new life into an old topic. But can the way sound is used in the classroom make the space feel more inclusive and engage students with different needs and abilities? I spoke to former London head teacher Alison Creel to find out. Hi Alison, thanks for joining me on the podcast today.
It's a real pleasure to be invited. Thank you, Simon.
So you've had a career working in inner city schools, quite noisy places. How important is the use of sound for you in that environment?
Schools are noisy places, and there's mostly positive noise, and then there's also negative noise. I just think it's the noise kind of reminds you that you're part of a community, the diversity of voices, the tone of voices, and then making sure that it's a space, you know, you might have a community of, say, 1,000 people. And so, of course, it's going to be human noise. But then making sure that we all craft spaces so that every person feels that they can be heard.
Yeah, definitely. I know that differentiation between positive and not so positive noise is a key one. So in these sorts of spaces, obviously, yeah, like you say, there can be a lot of noise. How important is it to teach children about listening, and is there a way that sound and the use of perhaps audio can help with that, do you think?
Listening is a really important skill. So it's appreciating, it's understanding that when you're listening, you're receiving information. So most humans, most adults I know, they say they're listening, but they're not listening. What they're doing is they're listening to answer, which means they're thinking of their answer. They're not really listening and really considering the information that's been shared with them. And it's something that we consciously have to be taught. And it sounds like a bizarre thing to say, because there's an assumption that we all know how to listen, but we don't all know how to listen. Especially if you come from a home where it's a really noisy environment and you don't know what it's like to be listened to, you won't really know how to listen in turn. The other thing that I'm very mindful of is that just about every single child in this country has access to some kind of tablet or phone or whatever. How many toddlers are given their parents' phone so that they can play a little game or watch a little cartoon? So there's an awful lot of visual learning going on around us all of the time. Everyone's plugged into a device, and most of that is visual. So there is a more important need to increase the amount of listening, learning through listening, that needs to be included in the school curriculum and in the school day. And the other thing about listening is it really brings communities together. So if you're listening to, if you're making music together, you actually have to really listen to each other to make that noise beautiful. Or if you're receiving, if you're listening to a piece of music being played, then that sort of, it really unifies and brings the community together in a way that visual learning and, you know, the other sensory learning, other types of sensory learning, there's a gap there that can't be filled by listening.
Yeah. Yeah. What place do you think silence has in the classroom? Obviously, that's, you know, the other end of the spectrum, but also, like you say, there's so much going on in terms of visual learning. There's lots of noise. Is silence also something that teachers can use?
Silence is communication. It's good communication sometimes, and it's powerful. I think that if a child chooses to be silent, I was a silent child. So if you choose to be silent, then you're communicating something through your silence, and that's got to be listened. That's got to be heard and respected. If you're going to be truly inclusive, then there are some children, we all learn in different ways, and for some children, silence is the only way that they can learn. So it needs to be as important as having times when there's noise being made in the classroom. So if you're going to be a truly inclusive community, then silence will be as valued as noise making.
That's interesting, thinking about sort of the inclusivity and the different needs that children have in terms of sound. How have you seen sort of classrooms where that's put to good use? How could you sort of structure some learning or a lesson where different types of needs in terms of sound are catered for, if you like?
Well, in lots of classrooms, you often have children who are on the autistic spectrum, and they'll often have headphones because we're recognising that they can't cope with big noises and so on. So that's one way in which, that comes to mind immediately. I used to ask of my teachers to think in a more inclusive way, so that there were bits of the lesson which were quiet, and there were bits of the lesson where everyone could, you might have had small group work where everybody could be talking, and then there would be times when you might be listening to just one person, or sometimes having a quiet environment and playing peaceful music in the background, because then children can recognize how that kind of peaceful music, that can impact on concentration and mood and all of those sorts of things. The other thing that's really, really important is that we learn about empathy through sound. So, we learn about how we express our emotions. So you can't learn that by looking at something. So listening to tone, listening to enunciation, listening to silence or anger or loud noise or all of those sorts of things also teaches us about how human beings communicate with each other. So they not only, children are watching the adults in terms of how to express themselves, how to express their emotions. And so we have to model lots of, we've got to model that and help children to understand what it means. And then in all of that, there's the whole complexity about our own uniqueness and, our cultural heritage and what sounds like good noise in one context might sound like disturbing noise in a different context. So I don't know whether it's just me or whether people will have noticed that maybe over when I first moved to London as a student in the 80s, public transport was absolutely silent, completely silent. Public transport, now you get on a carriage and it's noisy. People are talking to each other. There are quite a lot of people plugged in to, block out the noise, but you do hear voices and all of those sorts of things. So there's been a cultural shift just in London in terms of noise making and all of those sorts of things. So I find all of that kind of really interesting. And then thinking about how that impacts on the children in our schools, and whether their understanding of silence is the same as my understanding of silence, but bearing in mind I've been around for a lot longer and silence is very different in my world and all of those sorts of things. Yeah.
That's interesting, talking about different sort of cultures in the classroom. I'm sure you've taught in schools where there's a mix of languages perhaps in the classroom. Do you think there's ways of school staff using sound to help include people who might not have English as a first language? Can that bridge a gap somehow?
I always think that having a second language is an advantage, not a disadvantage, especially someone who's brought up to be bilingual. So, bilingualism is always a gift, and the gap is for everybody else to catch up on. So for bilingual learners, I think that it's really important. Actually, for bilingual learners, when instructions are being given out, it's actually even more important that those instructions are given in a particular way, with priority, in a quiet environment, so that there's one voice rather than a blend of voices, because we learn languages through mimicking each other. And so we need to make sure that our bilingual learners can be, are given the best opportunities to develop their fluency and to develop their understanding and all of those sorts of things. So taking time to make sure that they can hear things properly. And then in turn, we need to understand that if you're thinking in two languages, so often what happens at the beginning is you hear something in one language and then you physically translate into another language. And so your processing time to responding takes longer. And so teachers need to be very mindful of that and to allow extra time for that processing to take place. As bilingualism develops and you start thinking in one language, then that's not such a problem. And actually, an observant teacher will notice how that shift happens, where children move from translating from English into their home language and vice versa, to maybe just thinking in English. He's looking at that, the time a child takes to respond. So a good teacher will observe that kind of thing.
Of course, yeah. Do you think there's room for the use of, outside of the language, the use of music and sounds to help people who might feel less included in a lesson if they're new to a country? How can that sort of supplement what's being said, for example?
Well, music is unifying. You go to any concert. And everybody can go to a concert and really receive the music and enjoy the music. I always used to like it when I would walk into a classroom and the children would be engaged in what they were doing, and there'd be some kind of music in the background. There often used to be a rule that nobody was allowed to be louder than the music, so you always wanted the music to be heard, and that automatically means that the children understand what the volume is. You know, we talk about noise volumes in the classroom, and all too often you can hear a teacher sort of yelling out to, stop making so much noise. Well, actually, the best way to get children to stop making so much noise is, one, to whisper, because they will listen to hear what you've got to say. And the second bit is that if you've got the music setting the volume for everybody, then that's inclusive of everybody, because they will understand it in that kind of way. And then if music is playing in the background, it does make you all feel like you're receiving these sounds together, which is, it's a really nice way to make everyone feel like they belong.
Have you seen sound used effectively with things like storytelling and those types of lessons? How does that sort of help bring things to life and create an inclusive learning environment?
Well, the one thing that we've learned over the past, I do quite a lot of keynote speaking, and the bits of keynote that go especially well is when you tell a story. because people then, you automatically get engagement because people will buy into that experience and they'll compare it to their experiences and all that kind of stuff. So the power of storytelling is an incredibly amazing way to buy engagement from pupils. And then if you actually think about how to tell that story and you bring in sound effects and you bring in music and you bring in other, you engage the listeners by either asking them to participate directly or to make additional sounds, it again, it's very unifying. It's very sad. For me, it's very sad to find out that there are the number of teachers tell me they don't have time for storytelling, because I think that should be, you know, it used to be the best bit of the school day. Everybody would listen and look forward to the story time, irrespective of how old they are. And we can see just how incredibly popular Audible is and how incredibly popular podcasts are. So clearly people want to learn through listening. So we need to capitalize on that in our classrooms.
You touched on this earlier, I think, but I just wanted to ask you about sort of the idea of neurodiversity and learners perhaps having different strengths and weaknesses. You mentioned autistic children perhaps using headphones. Are there other ways that teachers could use sound to help learners who might have different needs, thinking about helping them focus perhaps, and those sorts of things?
Yeah, so concentration music. I mean, I listen to low-key when I'm working. I always have that one in the background because I know I'm much more productive when I've got some kind of calming sound in the background. I also don't feel alone when I'm working, because often working alone can, when you're doing work on your own, it can feel lonely, and that kind of helps me, and I'm sure it helps others. I don't think it's necessarily about a special need, but it's accepting that we are all different types of learners. So some people are visual learners, some people are auditory learners. So if you are going to be an effective teacher and you want every single child to do their very best, then it's about acknowledging that everyone has a different learning style in your classroom, and you want to weave in different teaching styles to engage every learner to be their very best. If you're only teaching one way, if it's all about one person standing at the front and just their voice being heard, then you're only going to reach a quarter of pupils. The others will get there, but they won't get there in the same kind of way. By bringing in lots of opportunities for visual learning as well as opportunities for auditory learning, it means that you are much more inclusive as a teacher and that you truly want the best for all of the children in your class.
After two disrupted years of learning, could the use of sound also offer a way of re-engaging students who may have struggled during home learning, or provide respite for those who've been given more screen time than they used to? Gary, what are some of your big priorities at the moment, given the disrupted 2 years that children have had, disrupted learning, disrupted home lives? Have you been able to use sound to face some of those challenges at all?
So we want our children to feel safe, to feel happy, and ultimately be inspired to learn. And using immersive audio has helped that through some of the examples I've shared, thereby creating that passion around a subject that they want to go off and write about it in depth. I'm a great believer that if we want children to complete extended writing, then we need to give them something to write about, whether that's a trip, whether it's an experience, whether it's a visitor. All of those things help push learning forward in a fun and creative way. And ultimately, I want children to leave my school, and when they move on into year five, we're a first school here, so the children leave us in year four. And when they move on, I want them to leave with such a deep passion for learning. You know, and I am a true believer that learning is infectious. If you experience great learning, then you'll want to keep experiencing great learning, and you'll move forward with that fire in your belly to find out more. And that's ultimately what we need to aspire for our young people. They will be the lifelong learning generation. We're living in a world that's changing so quickly and so dramatically that we need to be people of learning to survive in the future. We need to be able to apply ourselves in different ways across different disciplines, and that's what I'm seeing for my young people. And our immersive audio experiences are really helping support that. They're helping support a love of learning.
Have you seen the need to sort of re-engage students after long periods of home learning, being taught by maybe family members, dare I say it, by YouTube videos?
Yeah, there's definitely some YouTube or Zoom fatigue amongst our pupils. And actually, you know, I do feel that there has been a kind of death by video approach to how we've adapted during the pandemic. For me, there's been far too much emphasis on very dry content delivery, you know, whether it's filming PowerPoints or sharing content by, you know, live video. I think the nature of it, you know, it was a natural choice, but we need to be looking at the breadth of what's available. And I think we need to be mindful that there are some tremendous professional resources out there that can be used to really stretch children.
You mentioned video fatigue there. Do you see sound as more constructive way of using multimedia in the classroom?
Yeah, I do believe it's good to break down that kind of blue eye strain, focus on a screen all the time, and provide, you know, they say, don't they, if you want to taste something better, to close your eyes and you know, cover your ears and focus on that one sense. And I think it's the same with if we just provide an audio experience, the process is enriched because we're focusing on that one sense. And it's perhaps a sense that they've not focused on as much because we've become so used to seeing everything with our eyes, not seeing it with our ears, if that makes sense. And I think for me, that's a really nice way of looking at it. I think the other side of it is that far too often education content isn't produced to a level of that can be comparable to perhaps other more exciting visuals that they're watching through professional TV or, you know, the film industry. If you look at the budgets that go into the building big blockbuster films or even big blockbuster games that many of the children are playing now, the visuals that go into that, you know, there's huge amounts of the funding that go into it. Whereas if a teacher's trying to display a science video, it's very unlikely that that science video had the same kind of budget that the latest blockbuster they've just watched at home. So instantly it becomes, you know, less engaging than other content. Whereas with audio, professionally produced audio, I think there's a much more level playing field, certainly when you're working with professionals in that field. And that in itself provides a kind of excitement. And then you're also using it alongside headsets that are giving you that kind of surround sound feel. So you can feel people walking from behind you. You can hear sounds coming off on the left or right. And I think that kind of stereo / you know, surround sound experience through headsets is a powerful learning tool as well.
So just to finish up, Gary, have you got any sort of tips for someone who might be looking to use immersive sound, especially for the first time?
I would just say make that start. You know, try something, you know, start as simple as, you know, encouraging your children to close their eyes and listening to a piece of music. Use that as an inspiration to make that first step and watch their responses. You know, always be learner-led. Be really conscious of the differences it's making and seek to then grow in those areas where you can see that difference supporting children's learning. And then run with it. And, you know, I'd very much encourage you to get in touch with the team and Now Press Play. They offer 2-week free trials. That's how our journey started with them. And we got a 2-week free trial and we've never given them the devices back since because we've loved using the product. But it's not just about that product. It's about using audio as a fully customizable tool that can support deeper learning.
For more on today's topics and for the latest teaching and learning best practice, visit the TES Magazine website, where for a limited time you can get 3 months access to our new digital magazine for just £3. Head over to tes.com/magazine to find out more.